Warren Worsby's commentary on the Book of Ruth is called Putting Your Life Together. And on the cover is a picture of a jigsaw puzzle that's all broken up and scattered and in pieces. So maybe your life is like that puzzle. Maybe you feel like it's scattered and it's broken and it's in pieces. Well, the Book of Ruth is a story about a family that fell apart. It's about a woman who became bitter towards God and about how God restored and put this family's life back together again. The Book of Ruth is known as a gem of literature, and it's a love story between a poor, widowed Gentile girl named Ruth and a rich, powerful Jew named Boaz. It's like a novel ending with they lived happily ever after, but it's not fiction. And it's a beautiful love story, yet the word love doesn't ever appear in the book. The book is unique, and it's one of two books in the Old Testament that are dedicated to the story of women. The other, of course, being Esther. And where there's several contrasts between the two books that we can see. In Ruth, we see a Gentile marrying a Jew, and in Esther, we see a Jew marrying a Gentile. In Ruth, it begins with a famine. In Esther, it begins with a feast. Ruth ends with the birth of a baby, and Esther closes with the hanging of an enemy. In Ruth, we see poverty in Bethlehem, and in Esther, we see riches in the king's court. Both women help to preserve their nation, Ruth by being the ancestress of David, and Esther, who protected her nation from destruction. The Book of Ruth lifts up and exalts and honors the marriage relationship. And Ruth is mentioned with three other women in the genealogy of Christ in Matthew 1:5, the other three being Rahab, Tamar, and Bathsheba. Through Ruth's lineage came David, and through David came our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if it were not for Ruth, we would not have our Savior. And every Pentecost, the Jews read the Book of Ruth. And in the book, we see God's hand. We see his providence working in this family behind the scenes and directing them, that he has a purpose and he has a plan for them. And we learn of three women. I love books of the Bible or characters of the Bible when we're studying women of the Bible. So in this book, we have three women that we're looking at, which is a blessing. I love that. We see their problems, and we see how the Lord met their needs. We observe joy in love, marriage, and birth. We see sorrow in death, widowhood, and poverty. And we see hope in the Lord providing, restoring, rebuilding, and healing. And we see also various relationships in the Book of Ruth, the daughter-in-law and the mother-in-law relationship. We see singleness, widowhood, and marriage. We see the husband and wife relationship, the grandmother and the grandchild relationship, friends and employer and employees. Ruth is one of the best known women in the Bible because she is loyal, she's godly, meek, generous, and she's hardworking. Now, the entire Book of Ruth is only 85 verses altogether, and there's four chapters. The first chapter could be titled Weeping, the second chapter Working, the third Waiting, and the fourth Wedding. J. Vernon McGee calls the Book of Ruth a mighty midget with a mighty message. I like that. So the theme of Ruth is redemption. This is the only example in the Bible of the kinsman relationship, kinsman redeemer at work in the Bible. And it's also a picture of the love of Jesus Christ for his bride, the church. We're going to look at, there's three key verses in the book of Ruth. So the first one is in chapter 1, verse 16. Let's read that together. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you, nor to turn from following after you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." And then in chapter 2, verse 12, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you are come to trust." And then in chapter 3, verse 11, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to you all that you required, for all the city of my people does know that you are a virtuous woman." So the book of Ruth was written probably during the time of David and took place at the time of the judges. We don't know for sure who the author was, but it's probable that it was Samuel. The book begins with funerals, but ends with a wedding. Naomi moves from bitterness to blessedness, and Ruth from loneliness to love. As we look at our text, we're going to see the place, the people, and the problem of our story. Let's read verse 1. "And now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." In the first two verses gives us the when, who, where, what, and why of our story. First of all, the when. This beautiful love story took place during the dark, dark days of the judges. The book of Judges is known as the book of no king. In Judges 17:6, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but everyone did that which was right in his own eyes." So Israel at this time during the book of Judges had turned away from the Lord. They had compromised. They were living like the heathen around them. It was a time of apostasy, confusion, and unfaithfulness to the law of the Lord. There was political decay and moral and spiritual decline. So it was a very, very dark time. But on this black background of sin, God placed this lovely little story, and such is God's grace, right? Just as today we live in dark days, yet God is at work, isn't he? Drawing people to himself and still accomplishing his will. It reminds us also that there were brighter times, good people, and happier events even during the time of Judges. If you read the book of Judges, you'll know how dark of a time it was. And to realize that this story took place during that time gives you a bit of encouragement. The where of our story is Bethlehem, and Bethlehem was a very special place in Israel's history. Benjamin was born in Bethlehem, and he was Jacob's son. He was a brother of Joseph. Rachel, his mother, died giving birth to Benjamin there in Bethlehem, and she was buried there. And our story of Ruth took place there. And the most important thing is that our Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem. In Micah 5:2, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, Yet out of thee shall come forth unto me he that is to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. So we see that Bethlehem is an important place in Israel's history. And then the who of the story, we meet the family. Let's read verse 2. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. So the father's name was Elimelech, which means my God is king. But as we look at our story, we realize that God really wasn't his king because he didn't really trust and rely on the Lord to help him and to guide him. Elimelech was also a landowner in Bethlehem. Now the mother was Naomi, which means pleasant. But unfortunately, she allowed herself to become bitter toward God. And we'll see that in our story next week. The sons were Mahlon, which means sick, and Chilion, which means pining. So evidently, both of these sons were kind of sickly guys. So that's unfortunate. But anyways, the what of our story was that there was a famine in the land. God had sent a famine. And God promised that if the people of Israel turned away from him, if they disobeyed him, if they started serving other gods, that famine would be one of the ways that he would discipline them, to bring them back to him. In Deuteronomy 11, 16 to 17, the Lord says, take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and that you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath will be kindled against you, and he will shut up heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land will not yield her fruit, unless you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord had given them. So we know that they had turned away from God. They were living in apostasy. They weren't obeying the Lord. So the Lord sent this famine to discipline them, to wake them up, to cause them to turn back to him. But Elimelech didn't turn back to God. He felt compelled to go to Moab to preserve his family. His fields were probably barren. His sheep were dying. And maybe he could possibly see the green fields of Moab off in the distance. He could tolerate it no more. So in Moab, they would be far from God, they would be far from God's people, and far from God's blessing and protection. Now at the end of verse 2, it says that they continued there. So originally, they were probably planning to stay just a short time, but maybe they got comfortable there and they decided to stay there a longer time. The family tried to run away from their problems rather than face their problems. There was a famine, so they packed up and they headed to Moab. They seemingly left disaster, but they found more in Moab. Instead of trusting the Lord to provide, they took things in their own hands. And we see the why of the problem next. The why of the problem is because they were living by sight and not by faith. They made the mistake of only looking at the problem from a human standpoint of view. In Bethlehem, all they saw was hunger and pain. But in Moab, it appeared to be a land of plenty. And it reminds us of Lot, remember? When he was living by sight, that he chose the lush plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, but it turned out to be a very bad decision for Lot. But Moab was a heathen land, and they worshiped false gods, and they were actually the enemies of Israel. The Moabites and the Ammonites were the descendants of Lot, with his sinful relationship with his two daughters. And the Moabites tried to hinder Israel from entering the promised land. They hired Balaam to curse Israel. Now, Bethlehem means house of bread, but they saw only barrenness. Judah means praise, but they saw only complaining. Ephrata means fruitful, but they saw only fruitlessness. Running away seemed like the best solution, but instead, what should they have done? They should have run to the Lord, right? They should have confessed their sin and asked for his forgiveness, and they should have trusted him to provide for them, because God says that he'll always provide for us, right? It's better to be hungry in the will of God than to be full and out of his will. So they put their physical needs instead of their physical needs first, ahead of their spiritual needs. And Jesus told us in Matthew 6:33 to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he promises that if we do put him first and we seek him first, that all these things will be added unto us, that he will provide for us. And that's what this family should have done. They should have trusted in the Lord, even though it was a hard time and it was a time of famine, but they should have trusted God to provide for them. As we study Ruth this fall, we will see the Lord working in this family, drawing them to trust him, providing for them, lovingly healing their hearts, and putting the pieces of their life back together. Maybe you too have made some wrong decisions like this family did and didn't trust the Lord. Maybe you live by sight and not by faith. Maybe your life is in pieces and it's falling apart just like that puzzle. But I pray that through this study in Ruth that you'll be encouraged and that the Lord will put the pieces of your life back together as you yield to him. So let's pray.